One of the things I really talk a lot with the staff about is how to draw out the heart. Proverbs 20, verse 5 talks about the heart being deep waters, right? But the man of understanding drawing it out. We're not heart inspectors, are we? We're fruit inspectors. But fruit inspectors that are really good can draw out root issues, okay? And really good meaning careful, godly, you know, questions and things, and just being able to give them some time to work through this. Using God's word with our dependence on the Holy Spirit and prayer, it's amazing what can come out in somebody's life. And I always think of the Holy Spirit as the big C counselor. I'm the small C counselor. Now, you wonder where I might get that? John 15, 26, 27. God left the counselor with us, right? The Holy Spirit is the change agent in the counseling room. Sometimes I think he's like a far third cousin of the Trinity to some people. I don't think he's an it. I think it's a he, and I think he's pretty powerful in counseling, okay? And I think he works in spite of me a lot of times and sometimes with me. And I love it when he works through me in the way that I even draw out and bring scriptures. And when I can't remember a scripture, I just pray, say, God, I know there's a word for this person. Where is it? And oftentimes, just by centering myself back into God's agenda, a lot of those scriptures will come. So I just want to make that point that I think that the Spirit testifies of truth, and you testify as well in the way that you speak to people about God. Passport comes from caring for that person, listening carefully, and responding with truth and grace. Here's a verse you may be familiar with. It's a great verse to pray through that for yourself and for others. And I think it's very important that we kind of know some. You could almost draw a heart with eyes on it. There's eyes of the heart. The heart sees things differently, doesn't it, when it's renewed in Christ? Proverbs 18:13 warns us to listen carefully, right? 18:13, 18:15, 18:17, I like to look at all three of those as a warning to counselors, right? Wait a minute. Don't be foolish and speak before you understand. Wait a minute. Get the full story. Seek knowledge. That's what those are great challenges to us as counselors. Our prayer is God would open the eyes of their heart. You know that song, Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord. I'm praying that, singing that in you know, the background music of my mind when I'm in counseling is open the eyes of their hearts. So what is God's perspective on your problems? I often ask that after we get the life story. So I said, would you mind if I could give you God's perspective on your problems? Would that be helpful? Oh my goodness, yes. Okay, so what I'm going to do is you gave me the Reader's Digest version of your life. Now I'm going to map the Bible and God's perspective back on this so that you can see how God is looking at the trials of your life, the way that he's worked in your life, when he intersected in your life, where you didn't even know he was working in your life. And not only am I going to give you God's perspective, I'm going to try to do it like Jesus is in the room. Okay, I'm not Jesus, but I am speaking for him as his ambassador, and I'm speaking words after God, and my strength is in Christ. So please listen. If it doesn't line up with Scripture, you can stop me anytime. But listen carefully and see if not, this is not what God would want you to hear from his perspective on your problems. Okay? So what are these verses saying to you? Where have you been blind and deaf? Where have you closed your eyes to the spiritual reality and God orientation of your heart? These are heart-rendering questions. There's power in the cross. There's life in Christ. Where have you been putting your hope? So let's talk about a biblical understanding of the heart. Just a couple of verses that you're very aware of, I think, most of you. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. The purse of a man's heart are deep water. Eternity in the heart of man. The heart becomes hardened, calloused. So the Lord speaks about the heart a lot in Scripture, doesn't he? And when we think of the Hebrew heart, we think of the mind, the will, and the emotions working in some kind of holistic way. It's not compartmentalized, right? It's kind of hard for us in this Western culture to fully embrace what that means. But here's what I've found, that a lot of us pull up short of drawing out the heart. We foreclose on an issue, a sin issue, and get stuck there, instead of going deeper and speaking to much broader themes and motives and desires and helping somebody understand their role and relationship with Christ. We get stuck on a sin hunt. Be careful. You're not going to do the counseling God could do through you if you just get stuck hunting for sin. Sin's pretty easy to find, by the way, in almost anybody's life if you look hard enough. And there's nothing wrong with bringing them to the conviction of sin. But if you're trying to convince them that this is a sin issue in your life versus draw them out and show them how God looks at it and watch them weep with godly sorrow over the conviction of the Holy Spirit, quite different. Get them to come to God's perspective. So I said we're not heart knowers. We're not heart inspectors, per se. There is one, though. His name is God the Father, Jesus, the Holy Spirit. He's cardiognostes, right? The heart knower. And Jeremiah, 17:9 says we're desperately wicked. We can all go amen to that, right? And that the heart's beyond our understanding. But then verse 10 talks about it's not beyond God's understanding. He's not confused. He doesn't need any help. Man can never understand himself without biblical lenses. Not really. Because he's got the wrong epistemology, he's got the wrong anthropology, he's asking the wrong questions until he references God in the Scriptures and gets a full mirror, the undistorted mirror. You ever go into the house of mirrors? That's what I think most of us are in most of the time. And we're all looking at ourselves all distorted and weird. And it's like, I'm looking better than I thought, Or, boy, I am just horrible. I hate myself. And God's over here. Why don't you come over and look in the mirror of Scripture and see who you really are and who I have made you and who I want you to be. So that's what we have this wonderful privilege to be able to bring spiritual discernment, the mirror of the Scripture, And we don't want to dull that mirror by a bunch of prejudice and assumptions and presumptions we make. We want to bring them to the mirror and get some of their distortions out of the way. We want to go beyond biblical behaviorism. See, the world is grasping for answers. Well-meaning professionals have settled for describing accurately with no real solutions. And I'm telling you, that's pretty seductive. Diagnosis is simply an observation of symptom constellation and giving a label to it. There's no real true hope in worldly wisdom. And change, just as at the behavioral level, is dangerous. Remember the Pharisees? And finally, beware helping them with just sin management. Let's say someone comes in to a counselor, well-meaning counselor, self-diagnosed maybe already through Oprah or Dr. Phil or something, they're bipolar. Okay? So you go, huh. As I'm listening to their explanation of their symptoms, manic, sounds like they have been. Depressed? Uh-huh. Yeah, okay. Sounds bipolar to me. Wow. And the more I talk to them about what the diagnosis is and how do you do this? Yeah. Do you do this? Yeah. Does